or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, December the 30th, 2011. Tom Stone is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Keys to the Kingdom.
There's a lot of things that I could say, a lot of things that roll around in my mind, and I'm just going to take a little bit of time here until God settles the plan, because usually I start out one direction and He goes another direction. So, and I want to be in His will, in His presence. I don't want to be in the flesh, because we've all walked in the flesh. And it's not a good place to walk in the flesh. And I thank God for it. And I'm not a finished product, but I'm being worked on. I'm being worked on. And I thank God for the working. He's used many things to change, to move, to direct, to get it through this thick skull up here that I need to submit. And one day the Lord said that you need to set under before you can set over. Young people back there. Young men, young women. The Lord says to sit under before you sit over, under the authority of God. Your parents is the authority over you. We praise and glorify. A lot of people say, well, the law is dead. The law was for yesterday. The law has no relevance in New Testament. But He introduced the law. If I can find my glasses. Let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 2. As a matter of fact, He introduced two laws right here. When everybody's got it, say amen. And after the sixth day, Jesus taken him, Peter, and James, and John, and led them up on the mount, and apparted Himself, and he was transfigurized, He was changed, He was glorified, He was lifted up right there in before them, and His remnant becomes shining, exceedingly white, whiter than anything here on earth, whiter than snow. So as it was fuller on earth can white be. Fuller than white on earth. Can you just imagine to see the color of white and it be even whiter than you can imagine? That's what it was. And there He appeared who? To them? Elisha. The spiritual law. The prophetic. Has to come back into the church first. The law of the prophet has to come back into the church. The other law was with Moses. Moses was a lawgiver. One's a spiritual and one's a physical. And the spiritual has to govern the physical. Everything starts in the spiritual and manifests in the physical. And there He talked with Jesus. Jesus talked with both of them. You know, Moses got angry when he was told to do something. He was told to speak to the rock in a spiritual form then, but his anger overtook him and he struck the rock. What happened to him? He went ahead and led the 2 million people in the wilderness. He was the meekest man on earth, but yet he had strength beyond measure. Some of us, I can't even leave myself sometimes, and yet he led 2,000 people. You know, everybody wants to be a leader of a big old band, but nobody wants to follow Jesus. And, you know, you take a look at the society today. You look over there in Egypt, the very ones that started the riots, they're killing them now because they want to have their place. And guess what? With that disorder, with that imbalance, with no discipline, no governing body, it's going to happen over and over and over again. And we say we want to be free, and we don't even know what freedom is. We don't even know how to handle the word, let alone. I didn't get free till I had to submit. I didn't start walking in the authority of God until I submitted. And today, right today, if we don't hear from Him, we walk in the flesh. We walk in the flesh. And we've got to fine-tune our ears. We try to do away with the Ten Commandments. We try to do away, thus saith the Lord. We try to do away with, don't eat the blood. We try to do away with, don't eat pork. We try to do away with, don't eat this, don't eat that. God made you. He created you. He done it, and He knows what makes you tick. It's not the fact that you eat it. It's the disobedience at going against His Word. And it's a sin of witchcraft. Now, how many, if you're not following some of God's laws, how many of us are walking in witchcraft right now? The sin of witchcraft. And you know, that struck me to the core. I realized, hey, who am I? I stepped out of idolatry. I stepped out of self-will. I said, You are God. You created me. And how am I supposed to stand here and say, tell you what to do? And then sometimes we get in trouble. We get in trouble, deep trouble. And we say, God, why'd you let this happen to me? How come? And here we are just walking, just wallowing all over that road from side to side to side. It's a narrow line. It's a narrow line. But yet we are a generation of grace that He's wanting us to line up. Not to us. Not to my testimony. I don't have a testimony because it's His testimony. Because I wouldn't be changed if it wasn't for Him. You know, I'm going to lighten up a little bit. You know, He says, we're standing here before such a cloud of witnesses. And yet we got our Apple phones now. Everything comes to you in the cloud. You know? Hey, technology's now just catching up Christ. You know? So, hey, you guys, you want to download some music and you go into the clouds? Guess what? You better get a connection with that cloud. Because it's going to come in a cloud one day. And you're not going to be able to say, but. I bind that rebuttal in the name of Jesus. Well. I bind that well in the name of Jesus. My Father done it to me. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Because He came to let you go. There's two entities in this world and in the heavens. One is Satan, and he's the lesser one. And the other one is God. He has really dominion over this heaven because he's got dominion over Satan. He's got dominion over the heaven right above your head. Even if Satan enters there, he's still got dominion over that. And he's got dominion over the third heaven. Now, when we're standing fighting against God, who's going to wind up with the black eye, the bloody nose, the backache, the headache, the toe ache, colon cancer, colitis of the stomach, breast cancer, lung cancer, strokes, heart attacks? Who's going to wind up on the bottom end? Yes, I'm excited. Yes, I'm in concern. My wife and myself, it's been years, and we give up our holidays. Jerry gives up her holidays. But it's not giving up, a fleshly giving up, but it's a submitting to God. Because we realize where we come from, and we want to see other people set free. To come into His presence. To come into everything He's got. Pay attention, young man. Gotham. Because God wants to share His glory with you. God wants to share His glory with the gray hairs, the black hairs, the blonde hairs, yeah, the no hairs, the bald head. I'm telling you what, you know? He wants to share His glory with all. And He knows every hair that's put on your head. Could you stand before God today with what you said last night? Could you stand before God with what you said last night? with your actions, could you stand before God today? And a lot of people want to just, la, 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 la. Hey, we don't know when our breath's going to leave us. You could be walking around in this parking lot here and a tree fall down and break your neck. A limb fall down. I know many a logger that's dead today because he was working in a log woods and a branch came down and hit him in the head and broke their necks. I mean, right out of the sky. I heard one testimony, and usually I don't tell people's testimony, but I don't want to be tooting my own horn, but these two people were laying in the bed, and all of a sudden, it was a storm coming, and they heard it come, and all of a sudden, I heard a crash, and it was a hailstone about 10 pounds come right through their roof, landed right between them on the pillow. That's an eye-opener. Look at the violence of the storms now. If you want to take a look at a city, go up to Joplin. Go over to Bologna, Arkansas. Go up to Clinton. I mean, these storms come through and they wiped out. There was, 35 people killed that year that storm got on the ground. It went from 125 miles across the state of Arkansas. Stayed on the ground longer than any tornado around. It's serious. We need to be prayed up, stayed up, confessed up, repented up. It's serious business. It's serious business. When I started really looking at things, I got a little bit more. My wife always says, you need to lighten up. You need to lighten up. I got a little more sober. Maybe I got too sober. Maybe I need a little more joy. Merle, I want you to pray for me about joy here after service. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But I'm telling you right now, it is a sobering thing, folks. Do you know what's going to happen to the market this coming year? I don't either. But I do know one thing right now. It don't look good. It don't look good. How many people is in here are scared to their boots for what's going to come? Or shaken? I want to tell you something. You get into the prophetic realm, and you look at the prophets, how many kings did Daniel go through? How many evil rulers did he make it through? And every other prophet, when times got bad, they fixed their face like a flint towards God. They did not murmur against the king, but they spoke the truth. And here we go around and we, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to go there. Understand what I'm saying? Just imagine what I'm saying, blah, 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 you know, against the rulers. It says, don't even speak a word, even in your bedroom chamber, lest a bird take it and fly it and right to that man, and he's the one that says you get a check or not. I know this is true because in 1944, my dad, he was living in Parable, Arkansas. There was two men had control of the county. And you better walk lightly or you didn't get a job. And it was almost to the end of the war right there in 1945. I mean, you didn't buy nothing without a food stamp. You didn't buy tires. You didn't buy gasoline. You didn't buy groceries without a stamp. And I mean, it wasn't only my family. It was every family. Because things were tough. Because things are tough. And there's a lot of people who've got a tough life right now. But still, we need to get our minds set towards God. Because when you don't have anything, it's not going to be so hard. When you used to have something, it's all taken away from you. Because it's just going to be life normal. But the other fact is, it's a spiritual concept, and it's also going to be a physical concept, because when the guy comes and sticks a gun to your head, what are you going to say to him? Are you going to try and reach for your gun like Peter did? Cut off Malchus's ear? And Christ said, put away your guns. Put away your... Well, really, he said, put away your swords. Well, that's our sword today, is a gun. They didn't have gunpowder back then. The Chinese did, probably. But the fact of it is, hey, we got to put away our aggressive attitude. Our Antichrist spirit is what's going to take you out of here. If the righteous are saved, where does it leave the unrighteous? And it says barely saved. Where does it leave the unrighteous? But yet Jesus says, whosoever will submit. Whosoever will come and worship me. Whosoever will believe in me shall have eternal life. Though you see me, you don't see me, but God who sent me. And He says, these works I do are not mine, but He who sent me. And He says, hey, listen up, guys. Greater works you shall do. Greater works you shall do. Because if you get a hold of it right now, will you live longer than I will? What country could you go that you become a mapping, join in the mapping and breaking down territorial demons, territorial demonic oppressions, where the gospel be preached and a country be won of the Lord? Norman Parrish was part of that transformation down there in Guatemala by going in, and they took the whole gospel in. They didn't leave none of it out. They took the prophetic. They took the casting out of devils. They took the precious word. They took prophecy in there. Towns was changed over a period, a very short period of time. Mayors, governors, chief priests, police chiefs were saved immediately. The crime rate, the drug rate fell tremendously. They closed up jails and turned them into churches. And our counties right now are trying to get 100-bed jails here and there and there. And more people we are putting in jail. And now they're even turning away a lesser criminal. You know, you've got a felony, 1, 2, 3, 4. And only the fours wind up in jail. And the others are just turned right back out on the street because we don't have enough room. Something's wrong, guys, with the United States. Something is wrong. And a lot of people start trying to blame it on the school system. Guess what? The teachers only work with what comes to school. And the families are in a mess. I mean, you got one kid bouncing off the wall over here. You got one kid bouncing off the wall. Excuse me, children. I mean, really, the demonic impression that's got a hold of the children is causing them to bounce off. But Lord, I pray that the teachers get wisdom on how to... Can I say that? Can I tell one testimony about you when you were teaching? She had one of these children, or two of them. Both of them was on Ritalin. And they came in there and they made a pact. They come in there and neither one of them said they had the Ritalin that day. And they were coming off. I mean, big time. And her classroom was getting out of hand. And she went up to him and said, what's wrong with you two? They said, we haven't had our medicine. And she said, neither have I. And the one little kid, his eyeballs flew open about this big, and them kids straightened up. Another one tried it the other day, not too long after that. I'm going to tell another testimony. And this kid was bouncing off the wall, and she pulled him up there and set him there, and he was still goofing off. He turned, I bind that spirit of, what do you call it? Spirit of disobedience and strife? Or strife and confusion. And that kid sat there like a statue the rest of the day. And she said, and the kid asked her, at the end of the day, so, but see, hey, we've got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're not listening to Elisha. We're not listening and we're not walking in the Spirit because we have the power and authority to speak to every evil spirit and come and stop it right in its tracks. Who wants to be victorious in here? Is that very victorious? Caleb? Is that very victorious? There you go. We got to be victorious. And guys, You can stop a lot of strife in your own lives if you just listen. If you just slow down and listen.
Yeah.
Take control of yourself. God's going to set you free that you can take control of yourselves. And that's what it's all about, being free. I choose to get mad, or I choose to be calm. I choose to be happy. I choose to be sad. I choose to be depressed. You choose. You're the one. I'm going to let you know something right now. You're the one that has the key to heaven, or you have the key to the bottomless pit. Which key do you want to turn? Which key do you want to turn? It's going to get hot, and it never will cease. Brother Gene Moody was here. He was ministering, and he had everybody stand up, and he said, I want you to just now... He quoted a bunch of scriptures and read some, and he asked everybody to stand up and just close their eyes and start worshiping the Lord. And then he turned, and he said, and gave us a few minutes, and then he said, everybody sit down. And then he talked, and he asked, what did you see? What did you see? I was sitting back there just in front of the little girl with the green and black clothes right there in that chair right there in front of you. And I saw a worm. I mean, that joker was big. I mean, he was big enough that he was just sliming around between these chairs right here, just gobbling up people. The worm that never dies. The worm that will never cease. And that joker, he had a mouth that big around and had teeth all the way around it, but they was about 8-9 rows of teeth. And it was just like a rock grinder. There was nothing. Nothing. You see them on cartoons. You see them in your little video games. You see all this stuff. Those are real. Those are real. And one day, you might meet one of them. And I don't want you to meet him. I want you to go free. I want you to go free. And I mean that. I'm just not standing up here bumping my gums. Because it feels good when you could take a full breath of air. A full breath of air. And you know what shortens your breath? Fear. It is a spirit of consumption. How many people have ever got into a place where they hyperventilated? They were breathing 90 miles an hour, but no getting no air. That's great fear. How many of you have been diagnosed with asthma? Fear. Here's a comical one. Who's got smelly feet? It's also connected to fear. Because when you get afraid, you sweat, and that stuff runs down to your sole of feet, and all of a sudden it starts rotting in the flesh on the bottom of your feet. Boy, it's quiet in here. All I hear is the motor. I don't even hear papers rustling. Is that right? Hold up your hands. I want to see your iPhone. Okay, iPad, okay. Alright. I'll go with it. I'll go with that right there. But I don't want to see no iPhone over there with Pokemon on it or anything. The little pocket monsters. You know? No, I'm pretty sure he's taking notes. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've got a privilege to pray over him. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But he took it to heart. Also, he's got a praying parent, and he took it to heart. And there's other children here who've got praying parents. I had one, but I was a hard head. I was Cro-Magnon. Not only that, I thought I was saved, but I had a religious spirit a mile deep. And I thought I was doing all the good in the world, Gail. But I was beating my fist against a stone wall, and there was I see no results. No fruit. This is how you govern if you've got a religious spirit. If you're doing these things and you have no fruit from it, you better go back and check yourself. Are you doing it, like Brother Pittman said, for yourself? I was there. Are you doing it for Him? Now He created you for an abode. Now He's wanting to see a Christ-like image in you. He says, I'm your big brother, and I'm going to share my power and authority with you. But yet, we try to usurp this power and authority way before He gives it to you. By witchcraft control. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to knock your block off. I'm going to beat the far out of you if you don't do this. And some children get up in their mother's face, nose to nose, and start telling them what to do. God, have mercy. Have mercy, Father. My son, every once in a while, he gets ticked off at me. He won't let me go. Well, this last time it cost him $1,000 to get out of the emergency room. Yes, Eric? I'm talking to you. And I love you. Don't do it no more. No, I didn't. No, don't. Hey, ooh. No. You know what I did? I want all you boys, all you girls, look up here. I closed my mouth. I said, Lord, didn't tell God what He done. I could care less. I want Him free. I don't want Him in the hospital. I want Him in church somewhere worshiping God. He's got a call on His life. Every one of our parents in here, there's a call on your children's life. And PK kids have the worst time because they see how their parents was before they were saved and put into the office. And they said, I know him. I know her. I know you. And I see all the strife that's in the home. So I don't see none of this stuff. But they never give us a chance to change or accept the change. And then when our children change, we've got to accept them. And some of us refuse to. I know that's the hardest thing is to go from a parent to an empty nest. Because you still want to reach out there and, hey. And you've got to go, poof. There He is, Lord. Here she is. And God's more than faithful, parents. God's more than faithful. You may think, oh, Hades is coming apart right now. And yeah, it is. But one day. And I'm hoping it's before you take the trip across Jordan. I've always said I want to see it before I depart. I've always said that. But on my case, it wasn't until my support group was taken out from underneath me, and that was my mother. She was the one that was praying for me. She was the one that stuck by me. She was the one that changed my hippins. Anybody ever heard the word hippins? Well, you young people, you've heard an old slang. That's for diapers. And when you get back far enough, old enough, I know the country folk, this is kind of crude, but they only gave you a t-shirt, and that's all you had. But your parents cared for you, whether you know it or not. And I started thinking, I always remembered the whippings I got from my mother. And she wrote me some letters, and I read them and not really paid attention to them. And my wife's doing some cleaning, and she's come across these letters, and we took them out, and she started reading to me. And man, that crushed me. Because you could just feel the love of the mother there. You could just feel it. I ain't bringing kind of tears to my eyes right now just thinking about it. But my mom, she was not very intelligent. She had a third grade education, but she had discernment that could, nail you to the cross with it. She had eyes in the back of her head. She was about 4'6" tall and could whoop the far out of me. Matter of fact, she caught a lady with her older brother. And she whipped her. She was a scrapper. And I thank God that she prayed for me. I really do. I thank God. She changed me. She changed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to go to Exodus chapter 20. This happens to be one of four mats that God really expects us to really think about it, tear it apart, look at it, because it's a beginning of a plan for us to start walking in the Spirit. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Some of us, even teenagers today, are pretty grumpy until they have a mellow yellow, a Mountain Dew, caffeine. It's as bad as tobacco or anything else. I gotta have it, and I'm gonna tear the house down if I don't get it. And then we have some parents that don't have a 6-scoop coffee in the morning. My wife got on to me one day and she says, "You know, it says don't any strong drink." Hey, and she went all the way. I drink water and one cup of coffee. I'm guilty. I repent right now. But what I'm trying to show you, it can be as gentle as we think those things are. We've got to have a cup of coffee. I've seen people that really a bear until they have a pot of coffee. You know, and by that time they can thread a sewing machine just, and it was running on fast speed, you know. Hey, and these things are real. I mean, they'll get a hold to you and drive you. Now, where do you think strong drink comes from? You know, how far? And they said, well, hey, you know, it don't say too much about drinking alcohol in the Bible. Just look up the word 11. 11. Yeast. It is the working force of all alcohol, all carbohydrates that make you go to sleep right after lunch. But Jesus uses it another way too. It says get all sin out of your life. And he uses it, if a little leaven works on the whole loaf, right? But thank God for Jesus. Because we don't get thrown out with the wash. But there's some principles. And we get these things that, oh, I gotta have my bread. I gotta have my bread. I gotta have my donut. Whew. Krispy Kreme. Ooh. Especially those chocolate ones filled with that cream, you know. 100% sugar. Yeah. Yeah, diabetic or comas or sugar rushes or whatever, you get your heart going or your head. Ooh, I got drunk on coffee one time. It was raining. It was not alcohol. But we had 5 pounds of sugar out there, and by 10 o'clock, that 5 pounds of sugar was gone. And I mean, I couldn't even stand up. And they went and bought another 5 pounds of sugar. And I couldn't sleep for, I know, 2 days. It was just like going down and taking Crosstops, Bennies, you know, and no dose, whatever. But I'm telling you what, I got wound up. And Starbucks is just as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just a strong drink, guys. I'm God, an idol. I got to have my rap music, and I want it at, what do they call those bars up there? How many levels? It goes up to 10. Yeah, how many decimals? 10? Well, they got to have it 90 or above, rap music, trying their best to fry their brain. And I know you probably heard it or seen it done. We went to a Carmen concert, or I did anyway. I went to a concert one time, and they put a egg that was raw, hung it in a sock, stuck it to the speaker, And I tell you what, in a very short time, that was a boiled egg.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We was involved in the Billy Graham Crusade, and what was the name of that group? I don't know, but it was a rock group. We went down to Robinson Auditorium, and we walked in there. And that ceiling is high. And there was speakers that started right at the wall over here and tiered down like this. And they was on that stage, and there was only about a 6-foot alley. And that group came out. The Carmel and Keys was the name of it. And they brought out those steel guitars. And our youth leader told us, hey, we're leaving. And we got up and left. But I had a headache for, it seemed like a day or so, until I, you know, got away from that music. Music really should just flow. Melody. Easy. Worship. It puts you to work. And you get them drums that just as loud, and really what they are voodoo drums, because you're not going to sit still. You start dancing, and I can't even dance, and it makes me move. I have no rhythm as a dancer. These are gods for these people. These are gods. And, you know, and this is, he says, do not put any gods before me. Do not. That's verse 3. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or anything likeness or anything that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters of the earth. Now, we got all kinds of worship going on in that area. I'm going to take just my ancestry, myself. I've got Indian ancestry in me. Well, over in New Mexico and Arizona, they got tribes of all kinds. They've got a tribe for every mountain. And on these tribes, they've got their witch doctors. They got their medicine men. They got their old renowned women. And they got these things called voodoo dolls. And there are about 10 of them. And they work magic with them things like you never saw before. God, seeking higher power than other than the Father above, manipulating people, moving people. And it says, do not make any graven images. Do we have any graven images in our house? Do we have any Indian ancestor stuff around our house? Because I saw mine, it wasn't good. It's all connected to slavery. It's all connected to rage, wrath. I saw one in the spirit realm that had a turquoise face and it had black stripes on it. And you couldn't keep up with it, Jerry, by eyesight. I mean, it would move. You'd see out its peripheral vision of your eye, but this thing would bounce from corner to corner, corner to corner. And I had to renounce it and break the authority of it in my bloodline. Commanded it to leave, and it left just like that. But the Indian heritage, what they do to their children is terrible. A lot of the young girls turn them into sex slaves and abuse them. There's a word in the Bible that calls the horse forehead. And when a child gets abused like that, they're just open up to every foul and evil spirit. Nobody to war for their souls. Nobody wants... And men... We are supposed to be the warriors of the family. We're supposed to war for our families. And right under that, the woman needs to be side by side with him, in line. If he's not doing it, she needs to be doing it, warring for our souls. And then parishioners, priests, pastors, then we need to be helping the single mothers war for their children. There's a line of command. There's a line of command. And children, then you need to in turn pray for your parents. Not always just to be selfish. Well, I'm praying for myself. Will you agree with me on this girlfriend? You know, I've got to have a girlfriend. Oh, Gail, will you agree with me to get a boyfriend? You know? No.
No.
You know, and this thing arouses in young people. And it's the very core of humanity and its reproduction. And it pulls on everybody, especially when we're young. Hormones, testosterone, yeah, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, these things turn. I tell you what, if they could bottle it up, it'd be like dynamite, you know. But yet we form pictures of things that we want in our mind. Oh, that one I saw, that the guys used to say they looked like a brick outhouse, you know, perfectly figured. That 36, and dark blue eyes, long black hair. Ooh, I didn't have to ask him what that was. It was lust. It was lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. Of course, never got to pride. He had to really get on that one. But I bound it and commanded to loose my family, loose me. And it went away. These are idols. These are gods that we put up in us. And we lift them high. We'll go to great extent to get them. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes the name in vain. How about our mouths? In the fit of rage, have you condemned yourself to death? If you got mad at your mother or father, you have. It is a death curse to do that. It says to honor thy father and mother, for thy day shall be long. The first promise. We'll get to that here in a minute. Well, we were on it right now. Let's talk about it. Because when you get mad at your mother and father, they're the protectors. They're your provider. To the young ones, they don't have the finances to pay the phone bill. They don't have the finances to pay the light bill. They don't have the finances to go down and buy a bill of groceries. They don't have the finances to put a tank of gas in the car. And yet they stand up and tell the parent what they're supposed to do. It's utterly ridiculous. And guys, I'm not just stomping on you. I'm just trying to pull you out of a place of ill repute. You know, a waller. And that's what this is called. A pulpit is to pull people out of the pit. And if we don't inform you, who is going to inform you? And it's our responsibility as pastors, parishioners, leaders, is to inform the nation about thou shalt not. Well, they just put it up there and read the Ten Commandments. They don't break it down and tell you the consequences. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. You're supposed to read the Word, and then the Holy Spirit fills in the gaps in the between. You read the verse and say, sit there and meditate for a while, and God will start telling you. Now you ask Him, well, have I offended anybody, or have I stepped over the boundary? And He's more than willing to tell you. And just repent. Change your ways. Because I'm telling you right now, it's hard to do 30 years in prison. It's hard to do 30 years in prison because you got caught. It's better to confess and repent, cancel the assignment of the 30 years, or eternity. That is in the physical and in spiritual realm. Moses was a lawgiver, and all the laws that was given to him in the wilderness, it was for a reason to keep us from sinning against the Lord thy God only. And it's not a hard thing, but yet people jump up and complain, well, you're breaking the law. The law has been done away with. No, it hasn't. Not one jot nor tittle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the rest of the Paul, they all preached out of the Old Testament, out of the law. But they started moving in it and carried it more further. They stepped out of the physical into the spiritual, and here we are today. And it says, and from this generation until this generation, we shall preach this law, meditate it upon day and night, that we not may not, what? Huh? Depart from it. Or another verse, it says, not to sin against thee. And so, every time you sin, you may sin against your parents, but you're really sinning against God. The one who died for you, Jerry says. And I agree. And I agree with him. Because he died for me. He died for me. They're put there for life. Instructions. The gospel. The gospel. You read your word. It's the gospel. You want to take pills. Take the gospel. It's the pill for life. Oh, it may taste bitter. Like when John said, write up the book and eat it. It will be sweet to the taste, but bitter in your mouth. But guess what? It may start out bitter, but the longer we seek God, the closer we come to, and the further out of the pit we come by doing it, the sweeter it gets. The sweeter it gets. The more easier it is to read it and ask God, what did I do wrong? Jerry preaches a lot. He says, if you've got an elbow ache, look up the word elbow. If you've got a neck ache, look up the word neck. Research it. Repent over every verse. And God will heal you. But yet we want to shake our fist in God. No, your law is done away with. You try to tell me what to do and I'll box you in the nose. No, I am not going to bow. He says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It may be at the wrong time. And these deathbed confessions, whew, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to live my life just like I want to and do everything I want to. I want to experience it. When I get out from home, I'm going to smoke cigarettes, drink beer, and chase the women, go to every bar, go to every house of ill repute. You may not make it back out of the first one. Yeah. And all the garbage you pick up in twin. You got gonorrhea, you got AIDS, you got herpes, you got syphilis, you got, I don't know. Somebody got another one? Genital warts, clematis, chlamydias. And that's out there, guys. Listen up, Jotham. I'm trying to tell you something. These things are out there and you don't need them. The doc can't take them all. And we put our faith in the doctors today, and they're reaching their into the their counterfeit, and believe me, they may give you a pill to do away with the manifestations, the drippings, the itchings, but it never leaves your body. Yeah. Yeah. Oral sex, it'll mess with your teeth. Your gums, your throat, nodules on your throat. Yeah. 21 different diseases from oral sex on the computer. There are 38 diseases that comes out of from eating pork. You look up on, get on your computer and look up swine. And see, God made us. And He said, what? Do not do this. See, we think there's not a consequence for what we do. Oh, it's not going to hurt nobody. It's not going to hurt nobody. And yet, but we're, right now, a lot of us are living under generational curses that our great-great-great-grandparents done. No, it's not going to hurt nobody, guys. But now we got a generation coming up. We got generations coming up. And our great-grandparents has cursed us, and we're struggling to survive, and none of us asked to be here, but Jesus made you. The seed that's in your loins today is not yours, but it's Christ who created you. The Father God created you. And He's got these things. But the keys to the kingdom of heaven is to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and what? Soul and body. That In other words, bring this thing under subjection. Bring this under subjection. Bring this right here. You know why you got those teeth? To put this thing there behind bars. You got 32 of them. You should be shut and keep this thing from flapping that gets you in trouble when you get it in a fit. Boy, I tell you what, I used to get mad. Ooh, doggies. I got mad one time and I was shoeing a horse. Merle, and this horse weighed about 800 pounds. I just reached underneath and picked him up and slowed his feet up. That horse looked at me, his eyeballs got about that way, and he stood still when I went back to shoe him. He didn't know what happened to him. And I was on a Spanish or Mexican ranch, and they say, loco, wait-o loco, you know, white man crazy, you know. And he called me crazy right there on the spot, and I understood what he was saying. And God can change all that around. Satan gives you supernatural strength, and we got supernatural strength coming on the play. Right now, we got drugs that they start mixing them right now, and they will fight against the hazer. I mean, completely take your mind from you. I was watching news the other night, and this one city, they was having trouble. And this guy, this Afro-American, he got wound up on this stuff. And it was a mixture between crack cocaine and cocaine and another drug. And they melted all together, and they call it a flow juice. And man, this guy, he was shooting people, walking through glass plate windows. He whipped 10 cops. And before, they had a whole squad there. They finally subdued him, put him in the car, and kicked the doors off the car. And they almost had to put him down. It don't need to be that way. I mean, legion. Jesus spoke to the legion. The crazy man that they bound in chains, and they broke chains. They bound him many times and put him in fetters. Out of his mind. God, what did he say? I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a love and a power and a sound what? Sound mind. And we're doing our best to destroy that mind by putting in this and putting in that. You know? Bless that little boy. Lord, have mercy on him. Have mercy on him. Because I remember when my mama used to take me out of the hood, it was going to the car, and then she had a switch about that long. Have mercy on him. And God wants to give all of us mercy. And yet we treat His Word, and we stomp all over it, we walk around it, and we don't reverence. We come in this church building, we keep our hats on, we kick our feet up on the chair, we throw trash all over the floor, the fear of God is gone. And it needs to come back. It needs to come back in the house of the Lord. But they're still going to walk in rebellion. It's prophesied. And it's how we treat the rebellion. How we look at the rebellion. Do we have love and compassion for those people that is walking in rebellion and hope for the best? Do we see through their heart to see the results that where Christ is going to bring them back into the ministry to become the next prophet, the next deliverance minister, the next preacher, the next president, the next governor, the next sheriff? You know, and they need to be Spirit-filled because Christ needs to come up on the scene. He needs to come in the clouds. And He's going to come in the clouds, and when He does, a lot of people's not going to like it. He's not going to come back as a lamb. Because all He'll have to do is speak a word, and that lightning rod's going to come out of His mouth, and it'll melt you right there. And be all over with you. And see, they don't realize He's the one that has the power to either let you in heaven or destroy your soul. And you're the one, that has the key to change that. I want the keys. And I want to hear His voice to receive the keys. I want to hear His voice that when I speak a word to somebody, that those keys unlock that heart. Unlock that prison that you're in. Unlock those lying fiery darts that just speak to you all the time. There was a lady several meetings back came, and I went out and walked out the front door. She was out there in the parking lot wallowing. And I spoke to her. I said, "Take over your house. Get up. Take over your house." She got up and I said, "We don't do those kind of things around here." And she dodged us for prayer. Oh, service. And I started seeking God. He never does it beforehand, Kevin. He never does it beforehand. But she came forward for prayer. And this lady was almost a babbling, you know, and the Lord did it. He spoke the word. We repeated it. And she was changed just like that. Yeah. Yeah. Our whole countenance changed. But it was not me. Because he says, you don't live by bread alone. The bread is that Bible you're holding, or your notepad, or your iPod that's got the word in it. That is the bread. But he says, you live by the word that proceedeth out of the mouth. Now, how important is it when you speak? How important is it when you speak to your parents? How important is it when you speak to the court of law? How important is it when you go before the magistrate being sued? How important is it to speak the truth? These little pearly whites need to take more authority. Bite it if it's going to still wiggle. You know? Because we speak things into existence. Matter of fact, when you're not speaking a word for God and you're speaking evil repute and stuff, you are actually a prophet for Satan. Those are strong words. But that's the way it is. I'm going to kill you. You just spoke prophecy out of your mouth. If that person don't have a right to live, you don't have a right to live. You just spoke death to yourself. He says, blood is required for blood. And if you think it, it's already happened. Where did we get to? We talked about, thou shalt not dishonor the Lord thy God's name and take it in vain. Verse 12, honor thy father and mother, for thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord God hath given thee. Where'd the time go? Man, Lord, we just thank you, we praise you and glorify right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand up and just wiggle a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just move around. Get some blood flowing. The Word says, you know, or it has been said, the brain cannot endure more than the anal posterity can stand. Yeah. The time limit for a second grader is about 3 minutes. The time limit for a second grader is about 3 minutes. And we've gone an hour and a half. And I don't want to be a long-winded preacher, but I want to, you know, I spoke some things, and I think some people need to get a little bit of freedom from them, because if I've spoken you into prison, I want to let you out of that prison. Okay? Because I'm telling you what, it's not my prison, but God. God is the one that orchestrates all this. He's the one that sets you free. He's the one that allows you to put yourself in prison. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you right now in Jesus' name. We glorify your name, God, because your name is high and above every other name. And you esteemed it greater than any other name. And we come before you right now, God, in agreements with you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I bring these children, I bring these adults before you right now. God, I cancel the death curse right now in Jesus' name of speaking evil towards your parent. I break it and bind it, command and loose you now. Everybody just breathe deep as you can. Just deep as you can. And let it go. Don't blow, just let it go. Just breathe in the Holy Spirit and let it out. And if you got a cough, cough, because every one of us is guilty. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, it's better for you to cough. In Jesus' name. I break that death curse. I break it right now by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I bind it and break the power in Jesus' name. I cancel this assignment of the Grim Reaper right now over the children that spoke against their parents. I break that curse right now. Now I speak a healing to everybody that received a death curse out of that right now in Jesus' name. I break it and command and loose you right now in Jesus' name. Everybody that has a graven image of any kind that you've made yourself or have dolls or anything of Indian artifacts that has curses, I bind it, break the power, and I break the authority in the name of Jesus. Command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. Any, it goes for every nationality right now. Any artifact that you've brought from your ancestry, from Germany, from Sweden, from Ireland, from Africa, from anywhere that you brought that's sacred to you, I bind and break the power and I break the curse of that thing right now in Jesus' name. Picking up shells from the sea, I break it and bind it, command and loose you. Breaking up driftwood right now in Jesus' name. All the gods of the sea, I speak to you, Poseidon. I bind the spirit of Poseidon over mental torment right now in Jesus' name. I break the power, I break the authority and command and loose you. Loose the people right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All bipolar. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' double-mindedness. I bind and break the power and authority of it right now. In Jesus' name. I bind and break the power of it. Command to be loosed right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you and I praise you and glorify right now. In Jesus' name. I thank you, God, and praise you, Lord. Lord, I bind the spirit of idolatry right now. The spirit of idolatry where we have stood up and said, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. I break that power and I break the authority right now in Jesus' name. I can read what I want. I can listen to what I want. I can sing what I want. I want, and I can go where I want to in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I break the power and I break the authority right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the spirit of abuse over every child. That means everybody in here because you was a child at one time. I break that spirit of abuse over you right now, physical abuse, spiritual abuse, sexual abuse, I break it and bind it, command loose you right now in Jesus' name. All abuse spirits, loose us right now. Loose us right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I bind all drugs and amphetamines, all the spirit of pharmakia, all pharmakia right now in Jesus' name. I break it and bind it, command and loose us now in Jesus' name. Pharmakia of all kinds. Drug related from the doctors. Drug related from the streets. I break the power and authority of all drugs right now in Jesus' name. Command it to leave us right now in Jesus' name. I thank you and I praise you, Father. In Jesus' name. Take a big deep breath and let her go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, all weakness of heart because of it in the name of Jesus, I break it in mine in Jesus' name. All diet pills, that Fen-Phen, people took diet drugs in Jesus' name that attacked the heart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break it in mine and command to loose us right now in Jesus' name. I praise you. I glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We all said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.